Hello. I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge. Quack. Fuck you very much, the FCC. Fuck you very much for fining me. $5,000 a fuck, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC, for proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail, let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you, dickhead Mr. Cheney too. Fuck you and fuck everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake, you haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, the EPA, for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A. So fuck you all so very much. So what, the planet fails? Let's save the great white males. And fuck you all so very much.
Quack. Loading. Would you like to play an electronic game of chance?
Hello and welcome to Hacker Voice Radio on the 23rd of February 2006. We're coming to you live in your ears on 9 p.m. in London town. It would help if I didn't mute my mic. That was the song made by Eric Idle about the FCC. It's the FCC song because he was fined $5,000 per fuck, and that's why he basically did that song. We're joined here with Planet Lave. He's come back to do another episode.
Hello.
Yes.
Back from the dead.
Indeed. I can't resist, but I have to play another one of these. Crime Monitor.
Bastard man is throwing eggs at people from his window.
What is that?
Well, if you want to find out what that is, go on www.fat-pie.com and click on Burnt Face Man. And that's why he basically did that song. We're joined here with Planet Lave. He's come back to do another episode.
Hello.
Yes.
Back from the dead.
Indeed. I can't resist, but I have to play another one of these. Crime Monitor.
Bastard man is throwing eggs at people from his window.
What is that?
Well, if you want to find out what that is, go on www.fat-pie.com and click on Burnt Face Man. It's like a Flash cartoon. It's really fun. He's like a superhero with a burnt face, and he says things like this.
Crime is a shit that needs wiping up. Your days of insulting me over MSN Messenger are numbered. I've blocked you. I am not gay.
I'm not gay.
That is not true. Liar!
I think I might be playing this quite a while.
It smells like trouble.
There's a few other characters.
I am Welding Man.
I am Welding Man. This one also is quite funny.
Calm down, baby. Have a piece of cheese.
Calm down, baby. Have a piece of cheese. It's from a guy. It's from a guy called David Firth, and he does all these weird fucking psycho acid trip flash animations for quite a while. I think one of my favorite evil superheroes is Tap Man, and he's very much into his tap stuff. He's apparently, this is one of his major superhero powers.
Erode metal over a period of time.
And he does this by...
Hot and cold. Hot and cold. And a combination of the two, which I call... Hold.
It's quite funny. Well, got quite a lot of news in today. However, I've got to have a little rant about the Deutsche Post. They still have not delivered the full delivery of the T-shirts. It's been over a week now since they were meant to deliver this stuff. Guess how many T-shirts have arrived?
72.
One.
No. One? That's fucking awful.
Yes, only one, the fucking one. Now, can you explain to me why they would send one T-shirt when they can just send the whole lot in one go? It's like... Well, we've got, there's t-shirts here, but we shall split them up. Yes, let's split them up so it will confuse them so much. So we have one package, but it'll cost us more to send them in very little pieces all at once. Yes, but we shall do that because we are evil. Yes, we are the Deutsche Post. So, that was my little impression there.
Very good. Where are you getting these things made, anyway? Some sweatshop in Germany or something?
Yeah, it's some sweaty shop in Germany.
Child labour, listeners, then we can pass the savings on to you.
That's a laugh, because they're costing 20 quid. I mean, we're making, like, minuscule amount of profit. This isn't really a profitable scheme. I just want to be able to provide, you know, our listeners with very cool T-shirts of high quality. They're 100% cotton, and, you know, they've got a felt plus, like, plastic digital printing, whatever it's called. Really cool kind of T-shirts. I did the same lot with the hoodies and the previous T-shirts, if you remember, with the same company. But they just sent everything in boxes. And it was just arrived, you know, like 3-4 days after, but everything arrived. So I guess they must be some weird smoking crack fucking shit there. I don't know.
God only knows. Yeah. It can't be the postal company's fault, surely. But surely it's the people who did the T-shirts to put them in a bag and then give them to the post, Deutsche Post.
But then the German Post must... take control of it and then deliver it to my house, because they're not doing this. They're slacking.
Weird.
But remember that story we talked about last episode? Not the one with Ionix, but the one before that. I think that was on Tuesday night, about Yahoo banning Allah as their screen name.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently Yahoo has lifted the ban on Allah. Yahoo has done a vote face on its decision to ban users from registering IDs that include the word Allah. In fact, NetZines can once again start, pardon me, registering usernames with the letters Allah contained in them. Yahoo, on its part, has issued a statement attempting to explain the ban and its subsequent reversal. The company said it continuously evaluates abuse patterns in registration usernames to help prevent spam, fraud, and other inappropriate behavior. In the event, of course, of its evaluation, Yahoo discovered that a small number of people registered for IDs containing specific terms with the sole purpose of promoting hatred, later using these IDs to post content which harmful or threatening to connected to others, thereby violating Yahoo's terms of service. Now, fair enough, they've lifted the ban. I guess this is because they were going to be in some shit because they didn't lift the ban. They didn't put a ban on, like, Jesus and all that crap. I think this whole thing's fucking stupid because at the end of the day, it's just a collection of fucking letters in a fucking Yahoo account. It's probably the most insignificant thing on the face of the earth that's using up valuable gigabits of bandwidth across the internet to be reading this string of fucking nonsense. Seriously, people, get your priorities straight.
They're probably just shitting themselves with all this cartoon writing that's going on.
Yeah.
Is that still going on?
It is,
yeah. It's died down in the news a bit. They're not reporting it as much as...
It's because they don't want to get shot or something, I don't know.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of looking the other way and going, I don't know, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah. Well, it's just... I think it's just so fucking stupid, man. I really do not agree with all this crap that's going on. It's just... I don't know, there's just too many more important things to be thinking about than some stupid cartoon. And, I think our listeners really do know what my views about religion are and that, so, yeah.
Dying?
Yes. Any news topics that have interested you?
There's one or two here, courtesy of our regular news hound, Luke Zaid.
Yes.
Who's once again outdone himself. I don't know how he does it.
No.
There's one here from Reg Hardware, which is one of the spin-offs of the Register, UK.
Right.
And they are saying that Apple will next week announce that it's going to start selling full-length movie downloads through its iTunes Music Store.
Okay.
If the forecast of the US Market Watcher is correct. The prediction comes in the week when the company passed the 1 billion music downloads mark. Flipping hell. They've managed to peddle 1 billion MP3s.
Oh, fuck.
It's not bad, eh?
Yeah.
Basically this is speculation by some market watcher, because Apple have come out and said that they're holding an event on February the 28th to launch some fun products. And as I've reported on a few of these stories that I've seen on the net in the past, you get a technology firm such as Google, such as Apple, say, next week we've got a big announcement. And then all these people start speculating on what it is. And I'm noticing a pattern.
Right.
They're always fucking wrong. You know, from the Google operating system, the Google PC, and the Apple iPod phone, which turned out just to be a phone. Basically, that Apple had some kind of weird involvement in. It wasn't an iPod on a phone that everyone thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And all this bollocks dating back for ages and ages and ages. So this is what one market watcher reckons that they're going to do, is start offering full-length movie downloads. But I don't know. I reckon it's going to be bollocks.
Yes.
But it'd be interesting to find out.
You know what, mate? I can definitely see a pattern here emerging. In other kind of recent news that I picked up on, there's definitely a pattern in the whole "let's try and make some money out of this shit" thought process. You know that Ricky Gervais does a podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
Guardian.
Yeah. Apparently, the next kind of subscription will have to be a paid for subscription.
Yeah.
As well as a few other people that are actually trying to make money off this. And generally the whole kind of commercial side of podcasting is a load of crap, because it's full of, I don't know how many people are actually into the whole listening of podcasting and the commercial side. I'm not myself, but I thought, seeing as we're in this kind of quotation marks business, I thought, let's just check out what really is out there. There's a lot of kind of underground 1, 2, 3 kind of episode systems and stuff like that going out there. There's a hell of a lot of really kind of new, very commercial, very kind of teenage-driven stuff that's full of adverts, full of, like, products, AccuView, all that kind of shit for, like, I don't know, they're just trying to sell to the teens. You know... I don't know. I mean, I guess it pays for. The advertising. Like, if let's say we got sponsored by some sort of corporation, which would be highly unlikely. It would help us definitely to have, like, you know, our fucking banners all over the internet, all that crap. In a way, that's not what we're driven. And like 90% of people that do podcasts out there aren't really focused on that kind of thing. So you can definitely see whenever there's a kind of meme or there's some kind of new fad out there,
yeah,
that the corporations tend to jump in there like a bitch. That's definitely what's happening now with podcasting. Hopefully, with the nature of how it works, it's very kind of... listener-based, as in, if the people don't like it, they will pause and stop the recording and move on to something else. You know, you don't stay alive just because people have to listen to you. You know, there's a podcast out there, so that means people must listen to you, even though you're shit or not, sort of thing. You know, it's just like, it applies to us as well. If people don't like us, then they just won't listen to us.
Yeah,
and we don't find that, and we must be doing something right somewhere. I don't know, but it's definitely like it's a very tense game to play, and that's basically what the corporations are trying to get into, and it's very visible at the moment. But hopefully, the scene will kind of last out on that one.
Yeah, hopefully it'll survive it and ride it out. Like, yeah, you say. Did you see any other? Podcast that you had to buy or subscribe to when you started looking into this? Because I've not looked into it as much as I'd like to yet.
Yeah, I mean, not really, no, but there's definitely the ones that are like the kind of educational ones.
Right.
There's a few that are really cool and are absolutely free, but they're very, very specific to a specific point. There's just like really crazy ones like bird watching or, I don't know, like decorate your house and stuff. You know, there's just so many hundreds of categories that these podcasts get pigeonholed into. You know, one of which is like tech, hacking, rants, news, and shit like that we kind of go into. And we're kind of a broad subject, broad based of broadcasting. I guess you could even say, well, we're not really happy about being classified as a podcast because you're using the iPod kind of slogan name sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of. It's just one of those terms that's stuck, really.
It's just kind of slated, yeah.
Yeah, we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Gervais charging for his podcasting, that's the first time I've really seen or paid attention to this kind of thing going on.
I mean, the reason why it's stuck in my head is because I always thought of Ricky being a very kind of cool guy and not very interested in the whole commercialization and profit sort of thing. Mm. I might be wrong. I think it could just be a front, you know. It could just be a front that he's doing this, you know. The reason why I thought he wasn't is because, like, on his DVD, the cover of it was a spoof of his face as if he was Che Guevara.
Yeah,
you remember
the politics stand-up comedy one.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Because he did do a series of podcasts a few years ago, 2 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
For XFM,
right,
down in London. And if you go to their site, you can find it there. They've now recompiled them as MP3s. You can go and download them for free. It then moves to The Guardian, did a series of 12 episodes there,
mm-hmm,
which, having listened to them, were basically a rehashing of his old XFM stuff.
Yeah.
You listen to it and you think, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the XFM stuff and go, ah, that's where I've heard it before. Same bloke, telling the same stories. And laughing at all the same places, like it's a brand new story. It's the first time he's heard it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did enjoy the original stuff. Some of the Guardian stuff I'd listened to, thought it was alright. I can't say that I'd pay for it, to be honest. I wouldn't put my hand in my pocket for it. It just wasn't very original.
Yeah, maybe frankly. Yeah, maybe he's just being a bit of a cunt then, isn't he?
Well, I think the thing is, he got the Guinness Book of World Records record for the most downloaded podcast.
Sure.
Something like 3 million downloads per episode.
Yeah.
In that area. So he must have been sitting there going, hang on, if I can charge a quid for each one, fuck me, that's £1 million for me, another £1 million for this bloke, and another £1 million for the other fella. Fantastic. Why aren't we doing this? So I think, really, he saw the numbers and thought, that could be an easy £1 million. Let's have a shot at it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good shot, because you've got to have a front, you know, you've got to have a starting base before you even do this. Because if you know, even if we're going to start charging our listeners now to listen to Hack and Waste Radio, it's not going to happen. But let's say we were clean cut and the recording quality, sound quality was like fucking ace and shit, and we had, you know, at least a decent studio and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to happen. People wouldn't buy it, but maybe if one of us was Ricky Gervais, people would be like, oh, I wonder what this is all about, and pay that £1. You know, that one person turns into 500. You know, you've got £500 already in one episode. So I guess, in a way, you've got to have some sort of reputation before you go out and venture into this. But yeah, it's correct. What Mark's saying is that there is that slight kind of humming, windy background noise and coming from you.
Right, give me a minute. You carry on. Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
Cool. I think we were playing around with this before, and it seems to have caught back up with us. But I'll continue talking, as I always do. Google admits to the desktop security risk. Now, this is a story we featured a way back about desktop search. Google Desktop Beta 3 contains a security risk for businesses, says Gartner at Google, and Google agrees. Businesses have been warned by a research company Gartner that the latest Google Desktop Beta has an unacceptable security risk. Google Desktop allows indexing and searching of PCs, hard drives, and sharing of information through features called Search Across Computers. This enables users to search for information within a network, such as an internet. Intranet. I haven't seen that word in a long time. The risk to enterprises, according to Gartner, lies in how the sharing of information is pooled by Google. The data is transferred to a remote server where it is stored and then can be shared between users for up to 30 days. The report says on Thursday that the mere transport of data outside the enterprise will represent an unacceptable security risk to many enterprises, as intellectual property could be transported out of the business. Google told ZD Networks UK on Monday that it recognized the risk and recommended that companies take action. And Google confirmed to ZDNet UK that the data was temporarily transported outside the business when the search across computer features was used, and that it represented as much of a security risk as emailing does. I'd like to debate that. Theoretically, any intellectual property can be transferred outside the company, said Q. We understand that there are a lot of security concerns about the search across computers feature, but Google wouldn't hold information unless the users or the enterprise opts in to the feature. So a lot of debate about that across computers feature. It sounds to me like a very scary thing for businesses. Maybe cool for, like, let's say, the odd kind of semi kind of network sort of thing, and probably quite a good feature if you really needed to list this kind of stuff safely. But definitely 100% not for businesses. Can you imagine, like, if the whole payroll was indexed and some geezer could just go, I wonder what this geezer's getting. I wonder what my boss is getting. I wonder how much Sheila's getting. You know, it's kind of a bit scary on that side of things. I hope they get the kind of the trouble, the bugs and all this kind of trouble sorted out and ironed out, because it does seem like an effective indexing system, however slightly open and unsecure. Which I think, I don't know if you get a sense from Google that Google believes that nobody does anything bad and everybody's computer's hard disk should be, like, open. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, a bit too trusting, though.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, nobody does anything bad, so why don't you just upload everything you have so everybody else can see it? Well, somehow I really don't fancy everybody else being able to see what's inside my prawn folder. You know?
Just pictures of king prawns, isn't it?
Yeah. That would be weird fancy with prawns.
Yes, what's wrong with that?
Well, I get right down to the point, mate. No messing about right there. You want prawns? I'll get you prawns.
How's my levels, by the way?
Well, I've turned you up on the master mixer. So you sound louder to me. However, people might hear you a little bit... I don't know. I'll turn you up even more. No, you're...
I'll be too loud.
This mixer goes to 11.
Crank it up.
Crank it up to 11, baby.
So the problem is we can't really tell what it's going to sound like on the stream when we're doing the stream. So.
Yeah, it's not possible to actually hear that, because I'm getting... It slices the output in two and it does some very fucking weird things, but it works. You know,
yes.
When I was setting all this stuff up, I was very high, and I labeled everything, so I remember where the optical output goes into here, and then this analog goes into the studio input, and all this crap, and oh god, don't even fucking start me on this, because whenever you try and emulate what I did, it doesn't quite work.
No, I don't know what you did.
Yeah.
Some crazy ass setup.
Well, I only have one sound card, but I've got a really good sound card because it has, like, all these weird inputs and outputs and, like, line in, line two, optical out, optical in, and all this crap, and I don't know.
I've just got the standard Sound Blaster job, but yeah. Two on. So try and hook those bastards together. Yeah. Two isn't even enough.
No.
Weird. Mark says it's no different. Well, in that case, we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Because it's... I've cranked up the volume at my end, and you've cranked it up at your end, so I think we're about bollocks, really.
Yeah, there's not a lot more we can do, because that's how loud you're going to be coming through. But also, you're hearing him a minute later, so...
That's true.
We might have done something, and you'll still be hearing him at the same volume, and then suddenly he gets really loud!
See, that's what I don't want to happen, is just both turn the volume up, and then...
And he goes... How's that?
Start making people bleed out their eardrums. He says that's actually better.
Oh, so. Fantastic. We cracked it then.
Phew.
Hacksawed the volume saws. Lol.
Yes, sword. By turning it up a little bit.
Lamau.
So this is why we don't charge for our podcast.
Yes. Well, one, maybe people won't ever buy it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about dog shit.
Nice segue there, mate.
Yes. You gotta love my little... it goes right through, doesn't it? Talking about dog shit. Apparently it's going to be the next generation alternative energy source. San Francisco, a leader of gay porn, a leader of urban recycling, is preparing to enlist its canine population for the first in the United States covering converting dog poo into energy. NorCal Waste Systems, the city's garbage company, plans to test collection carts with biodegradable bags in a city city center park populous with dog water, popular with dog walkers. A city study found that most 4% of all garbage bags pick up by San Francisco homes was from animal waste, It was destined for the landfill sites. NorCal Waste spokesman Robert Reed said, "San Francisco has an estimated 120,000 dogs. That's a lot of dog shit." The city asked to start thinking about a pilot scheme to recycle the dog poo in order to cut back on adding more waste in landfill sites. Dog feces or dog shit could be scooped up into a methane digester. I've got to love that. I've got to buy myself a methane digester to digest my methane. Oh, it's called the toilet. and some matches. Light a match, for fuck's sake. A device that uses bags and microorganisms to gobble up the material and emit methane, which would be trapped and burnt to power a turbine. make electricity. Well, why don't they just like line up a whole load of dogs, feed them like most like a full meal and then some laxatives? You could have like a, you know, a dog poo farm or something like that. I don't know. Well, you know, why don't they just step this whole thing up and buy like loads of bison or something? You know, those fuckers shit a lot. You know, let's have like a bison poo farm.
Can't they do it with human poo?
Yes. Exactly.
Poo's poo, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, You know, we're all different species, but it comes out the fucking same, you know?
It all stinks and it's all brown.
Yeah.
Not getting too scientific there, I admit, but... yeah, because I think there's loads of human poo down in the sewers.
Yeah.
Last time I was down there, saw a lot of poo. And rats.
And Reverend Rat.
No, he's always in the pub, not the sewers. Yeah, surely that's an inexhaustible supply of fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Human poo.
Why don't they just, like, pipe all the sewage works into this methane digester? I'm going to do a little sound effect for that. I think it deserves a sound effect.
Methane digester.
Loads of human poo down in the sewers.
Yeah.
Last time I was down there, saw a lot of poo and rats.
And Reverend Rat.
No, he's always in the pub, not the sewers. Yeah, surely that's an inexhaustible supply of fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Human poo.
Why don't they just, like, pipe all the sewage works into this methane digester? I'm going to do a little sound effect for that. I think it deserves a sound effect.
Methane digester.
No, that doesn't quite cut it, does it?
Methane digester.
That's it.
That'd be a cool name for a band.
Yeah, yeah.
We are Methane Digester. Good night.
We're the Methane Digesters. That's the Methane Digesters right there.
Copyright 2006,
Yes. In case anyone decides to steal my great, well, your great methane idea.
Hooray!
See, I nearly stole it there. I mean, come on.
Yeah, bastard.
I downloaded it from Kazaa. I got your IP, mate.
Got your number.
Yeah. Any other interesting, wild and wacky newares?
Yeah, again, courtesy from Luke's 8. Because I tend to go through his stuff and pick out the things that either excite me or anger me. Yeah. You know, they just normally really stand out.
Yeah, I think he's really. I think he's clocked on to our news eating habits.
Yeah. obviously, anything with ID cards in the title stands out with a big flashing neon light about it, as far as I'm concerned. And there's a tiny little story here from the Times. Which says, ID cards have already cost £32 million. A total of £32 million has been spent preparing for identity cards, even though Parliament is yet to approve the government's plans, according to figures released yesterday. And this is today's story, so it probably was released yesterday. Good. In the last 6 months of 2005, Home Office spending on the project soared, from a rate of £25,000 a day to £63,000.
Wow.
Really tiny little news story, but what more do you need to know? Sure. It ends with Alistair Carmichael, Liberal Democrat Home Affairs spokesman, said, "The government is spending money which it has no right to spend. It is completely unacceptable to forge ahead on a scheme which will radically alter British society without the approval of MPs." And, yeah, I mean, the number's all there, the story's there, make up your own mind, but I think you know what my rant and opinion's going to be. Just, what the fuck are you doing?
Well,
this is something nobody wants, and they're pissing money away on it already.
20 minutes earlier, I was actually reading a story from the IT Weekly. The summary is as follows. Basically, they're saying that taking an effect of an example of all technology. However they say it will be secure, every single piece of technology has eventually become unsecure because somebody's found a loophole or a crack or some way to exploit it. And it's like every single thing. So they're saying, what will happen then to the IT scheme when it goes ID scheme when it goes tits up? Basically, they're saying, well, what will happen is they will just, they will try and ignore this as far as they can, because it's going to cost them so much money. So, in effect, they're investing, like, billions and billions into a scheme that is being said to be 100% secure and is meant to be, like, the most biggest alternative of the way to, kind of, make things so much better for anti-terrorism, anti, you know, counterfeit and all that crap, when one day, one time along the line, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, some motherfucker's gonna find a way to break this algorithm and, you know, start forging these cards. And we'll be, you know, faced with a billion pound debt and pieces of plastic that are worth, you know, less than a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think I was actually reading the same story as you a while ago. It sounded pretty similar that they're expecting it will fuck up. And they were anticipating the government's response just to bury their head in the sand and just go, no, everything's fine, don't worry about it. And, you know, because if they do come out and admit, yeah, we put this new scheme in and there's some holes in it, it's a bit bollocks, and it cost billions, and, you know, it put everyone through a lot of arse ache, we've now got to tear it down and start again, there'll be riots. So they just wouldn't admit it if there was anything wrong with it, is what the point of the story I read was. Bloody nuts.
And another story which is a bit weird, man admits to be using the Ripper hoaxer. 50-year-old man has admitted being the notorious Yorkshire Ripper hoaxer known as Wearside Jack. John Humble, a former labourer from Folden Road from Ford Estates, Sunderland, has denied intending to pervert the cause of justice at Leeds Crown Court. Mr. Humble, who was not in court for the hearing, admitted writing letters and making a tape sent to police during the Ripper's reign of terror in the 1970s. The police inquiry focused on the northeast because of Westside Jack's accent. Reporting restrictions on the case were lifted by Judge James Stewart, QC, on Wednesday. So apparently he's got a trial to establish if he's actually the hoaxer, whatever. Kind of weird. I don't know. Why would anybody want to hoax that? I guess he's got some weird kind of, like, I don't know, fantasies or something.
Yeah, first thing that leaps into your head is, you know, is he a nutter? Sounds like one.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy people out there.
Too many crazy people. Is this Lara Croft? 10 years on. It has been a decade since Tomb Raider first arrived, but now its digital heroine faces her toughest mission yet. Her comeback, the new Lara Croft, has more realistic, smaller-breasted look. Oh my gosh. Although midriff and exclusive leg display is still de rigueur, whatever that is. But damage has been done in poor game design. Decisions as much as artistic ones. It's still great gameplay. Not smaller boobs that will bring the love back. I really wish her well because it's a sad day when even a virtual woman gets overshadowed by her own cup size. Surely they should have, you know, with advances of technology, they're able to render more polygons per second. That means bigger boobs.
Yeah,
And I think the reason is, you know, with the forthcoming of, you know, with these physics engines.
Yeah.
Those two boobs would have quite a lot of mass. Now, it's quite difficult. Bad day when even a virtual woman gets overshadowed by her own cup size. Surely they should have, you know, with advances of technology, they're able to render more polygons per second. That means bigger boobs.
Yeah,
And I think the reason is, you know, with the forthcoming of, you know, with these physics engines.
Yeah.
Those two boobs would have quite a lot of mass. Now, it's quite difficult jumping from you know, like a pipe onto, like, a car with these two huge honkers. Because, like, the physics engine will just, like, go mad and she'll just, like, drop on her face or something. So I think, like, you know, kind of gameplay speaking, they've had to reduce the size so that her weight won't affect her balance, you know? I think that's what's happening here. Because, like, if she's running, like, at full pace, this huge robotic monster comes right in front of her. She has to stop to pull out those two guns. What will happen is, like, the kinetic energy of her two bosoms will still overweight her, and she'll just, like, boom, on her face. That's the issue she's having there, you know?
That should be the new attack mode in the Tomb Raider game. Boob attack, boob attack.
Sonic boob.
Have you seen the pictures of the new Lara Croft model?
No.
Oh, they've roped some other bird into putting on skimpy pants and a tight top and posing with a couple of guns. She looks nice.
Yeah.
But then again, so did all the others, you know.
Well, I never really was into the whole Lara Croft great gameplay stuff.
Played the second one.
Well, I played the first one for a little while on PC. I got really bored with it, but the only reason I played it was just to be able to get the camera in really obscure angles.
Fucking pervert.
She did swim quite well, you know. I couldn't not help make her swim in very weird positions. And she made weird sounds when she was like...
one and cocking the other.
Yes, indeed. I think you're breaking up there again, mate. I was going to call you back. Hello. No, I guess that didn't work. And I remembered to press pause again. Not like
last. Does that mean we're now recording again?
Yes, we're recording again. Yes, yes. Oh, after good. A short interim of pause and silence and random music and random quotes from me.
Cool.
But only people that listen to the show live can hear. So listen to the show live. Otherwise, you will be... I don't know. Something happened.
You'll miss out on all our crappy little technical breakdowns.
Yes. Now, I just want to remind people, go and visit our Frapper page, make yourself known and heard, and put a little blip wherever you live. It's www.frapper, that's frapper.com/hackervoice. Add yourself, make yourself known. Also, if you wish to, if you're tired of these technical issues and tired of these crapping out moments and the stream server dying and all that kind of jazz, then why not support us by purchasing yourself a high quality Hacker Voice t-shirt? You can find that at www.hackervoice.co.uk/swag. Anyway, back on track, I guess.
Where were we?
Where were we? God knows. Talking about something.
Boobs.
Yeah, talking about boobs.
Boobs are good.
It does seem like it's a shame that she's losing the cleavage there.
Yeah, what can you do? Like you say, you'd think with all the new processors in the PS3 and the Xbox, whatever, They'd have a special boob processor.
Yeah, they'd have a...
Just to handle all that.
They'd have a special... A special breast engine.
A dedicated one.
Dedicated server farm just to be able to render her breastage. Don't get me started on the bra. I mean, the bra needs a whole different processing farm. You know, you need the North Bridge and the South Bridge, you know, working 100% to do that shit. You know, luckily she's wearing a thong, so that doesn't take up as much RAM.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a new story that courtesy of LucasAid. Hundreds of new sites are trading on web users' ignorance by selling them inadequate or unnecessary tech support for free software. Danny Bradbury investigates. Astili described herself as a frequent internet user who checks her email daily. Okay. By that first comment, then obviously she isn't a frequent, because if you're a frequent, you don't check your emails daily, you check them per minute, and you probably have some sort of alert system whereby if you got an email, it would be like all fucking shit would break loose. That's a frequent internet user. Alright, I'm not even going to read the bit where she participates in forums. I've got to stop myself. And multiple... Oh, my God, she has multiple online accounts. Oh, fuck. Okay. Right, she's probably...
I bet one of them's AOL.
Yeah. But that did not stop her. Guess what? For falling into a new loophole by which sites provide software that's available for free elsewhere and charge for support that may be limited or even non-existent. Okay. So... I don't really understand this. They're selling free software and then providing shit customer support.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, she was a victim of the new breed of websites making money off free software. While companies such as Red Hat have for years charged money to distribute and support free software, particularly Linux, which everybody's aware of, They clearly add value through support and CD distribution, but some of these new sites charge membership fees either to provide downloadable versions of the software copied from legitimate websites or to redirect browsers to their site should have gone to into the first place. Clearly, they capitalize on the ignorance of the net newbies. Most of these websites work similarly, searching free software such as Skype in search engines providers. Right, okay, I see what they're doing. So they're like trying to capitalize on free software by providing this shit for, like, so let's say you download this, but how about you subscribe to our support sort of thing? So it's quite an interesting little thing there. I guess, you know, people just need to wise up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Put some research in. Do a Google search and find out what's going on. One of the weird things here is that she paid $34 for LimeWare.
Yeah.
Yeah, P2P client. the story says it's available for free from LimeWare.com, and that's kind of half true. The basic version is free, and the pro version is $19. Yeah. So either way, she got ripped off.
Yeah.
But it's strange for them to say, oh, she paid for this and she could have got it for free. Not as black and white as they want to make it sound.
No.
But she did get fucking ripped off.
Yeah.
Paid twice what she should have.
Well,
amazing that a frequent internet user like her could fall for that.
I mean, you've got to be more frequent than that, you know. Oh, God, don't get me started on that shit. Uh-huh. I have to face it every day in life. These frequent internet users will be the down of the internet.
Bloody amateurs.
Please wait.
Stay off the internet. You're slowing it down for the rest of us.
Yeah. With your fucking peer-to-peer downloading.
And your once-a-day email checking.
Yeah. Once a day. I mean, come on. That's not... that's not adequate, okay? Right.
She's just got no friends.
A few websites that I would like to recommend to a few people. Mm-hmm. One of which is www.hushmail.com. It provides free encrypted mail accounts, should I say. I was trying to spin this off some way, but it couldn't really work better than mail accounts. And allows you to set your own free, although slightly limited, email account whereby you can have Bilal@hush.com or Bilal@hashmail.com. It's got a few other kind of domains on there you can add yourself to. It allows you to create your own passphrase and supports random mouse movement kind of generation of encrypted data as well as PGP and other kind of stuff. Very funky. Now, another kind of related one is readnotify.com. That's a free and subscription, Hushmail is also free and also subscription based. ReadNotify is a free and subscription based email program. However, ReadNotify is slightly different. ReadNotify enables you to generate a very limited email whereby you send this email to a person. The actual email has a lifetime of like 30 seconds or however long you want it to exist. So the person literally reads the email for 30 seconds and then the email is deleted, destroyed, cannot be reclaimed. You may say, how about right click or copy and paste? Well, that doesn't actually work because the entire email loads in its own separate kind of Java-based web browser and basically enables very specific email sending so that you know the person has actually read the email and has a set limit on how much they can actually and what they can actually do with the email. Very secure, very function-packed and feature-packed. So I'd recommend to people to check both of those sites out and start using some sort of email encryption methods as they are very good and do a lot of good to you in your emailing and encrypting sense.
What was that second one? ReadNotify.
ReadNotify.com, that's right. Oh. That's R-E-A-D and Notify.
Good stuff, I'll check that out.
Yeah. The only reason I remembered that, because I've got it written up on a poster And, like, my mate sent me the link, and I thought, shit, I've got to write that down somewhere. So I just, like, stuck it up on a poster. It's the only thing that was close to hand. You know, I end up sometimes writing stuff on my monitor and then having to scribble it out in pencil. So. Have you not heard of paper? No!
You know, if you actually write things on the screen of the monitor, it saves it as a file on your computer.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm a frequent internet user, and I write stuff on it.
I've got my special internet permanent pen.
Yes.
Why won't it get to Google? I can't get this off.
My iBic.
Oh, don't. They'll probably steal that idea. 20,000 songs on a pen! Maybe that's what their big party's about next week.
Yeah. How was your night out with the geezer that's leaving?
It was alright. Just ended a lot sooner than I thought. Just a quick meal.
Yeah.
Say cheerio and all the best and whatnot. So.
And give me back my pens.
Yeah.
You still got that USB key I gave you, like, 3 months ago.
Give me everything back I've ever given you.
Oh, right, don't bother. I only check my email psychotic. Once a day. I think I need to start a poll on the forums. How many times do you check your email a day? Once.
God.
Two. More than five. More than 10. Regularly.
With our crowd, it'd be, well, how many accounts?
Yeah.
I've got 7 accounts. I've got 3 fake names. I've got a bank account in Kuala Lumpur. False address.
I've got 6 registered children, of which don't exist.
Can I check all their email addresses as well?
Yeah. I'm actually a male and a female.
I check mine 3 times a day, but I check other people's about 20.
I like that. That's going to have to be sigged.
It's the kind of thing Napster would get up to, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheeky fella.
I'm going to have to write that into my signature now. Right.
Planet. Live on air.
Planet
actual
Lave.
Typing. Yeah.
Planet Lave. Colon. Planet Lave's colon. Exposed. Pictures included.
Only in this month's Hello magazine. Mind you, it'd be more interesting than another look around Kerry Katona's fucking house.
Who's that then?
Oh, sorry, I'm just going off on a random tangent about Hello magazine and all that crap. Ugh. Can't get started at this late hour.
That's such a good little signature. Planet Lave. I check my emails once a day, but other people's about 20 times.
Weird thing is that is kind of true in an IT sense as well.
Yeah.
I kind of do have to do that.
Yeah.
All legit. You know, they've all given their consent.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's horrible going through other people's email accounts when you have to. Too much information, man.
I love the send on behalf of function. I'm a wanker.
It must be true. My name is on this email. Send.
I've got excess hair where it shouldn't be. Signed, Bob.
Here is a picture.
Yeah. Send to all. Send to managers.
Send to internet star dot star.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried that function, didn't work.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, we're round about the end of time.
Cool.
Yes.
I'm going to check out those Burnt Man things
you
told me about
earlier. Burnt Face Man at fat-pie.com. And definitely check him out. Thank you for listening to another free internet radio broadcast from Hacker Voice Radio. I've been Belial.
I've been Planet Lave. Apologies for any technical issues in this episode.
And go ahead. Yeah. And if you have any news stories or any comments or suggestions, send them off to radio@hackervoice.co.uk. Again, please support us by purchasing our lovely doubly Hacker Voice Radio t-shirts. Official Hacker Voice Radio t-shirt. And of course, if you feel the need, you can make your own. But, yeah. Well, I guess tomorrow...
We'll see you in court.
Yeah, no. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I probably won't be here because I'm going to be at a party smoking quite a lot of controlled drugs. Yeah, that's basically that.
Well, I shall go through the usual rigmarole of trying to...
Get it to
cobble
work.
It together and yeah. wire it up so it'll work from this yeah. end, and then failing about 2 minutes before the show yeah. goes live, kicking and storming off.
Well, so. I'll keep the stream running,
right?
And I'll keep Skype running so that people can call in, and I guess I'll keep Vent running. It's always been running anyway, so in case anybody wants to connect to that, and that's about it for me.
Yep, same here.
Cool. Don't know what to finish off on. Guess I'll finish off on that grape digging Sharon Fruits band song called "I'll Kick Your Face In."
Cool.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Voice Radio.
Ta ta.
I guess we'll see you tomorrow. Well, I'll see everybody Monday. Good night.
See ya.
Scratching.